it's Flo, and this is my impression of a beat poet. Name your price. A tool, an idea, an inspiration. To do more than just say what you want to pay. Oh, no, but to see the options that could fit your budget. Steve, enough bongos.
Find car insurance that fits your budget at Progressive.com.
Makes me want to dance. Steve!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello there, and welcome to Prism Radio. This radio show exists for the desire to improve the lives of transgender people. Education is the key, I believe, to acceptance of transgender people, and although education is the most important aspect of this show, we do hope to also entertain. My name is Holly Knight, and I am the creator of Prism Radio, and I'm very honored to be your host for Prism Radio. Love is the only house big enough for all the pain.
The only house big enough for all the pain in the world. Love's the only house big enough for all the pain.
Hello everyone, this is Holly and this is Prism Radio. We are currently February 15th, 2015. This is my 92nd Prism Radio show. We started back in June 2010, and been doing it quite often, not every week, of course, because that would be difficult to do, of course. But anyway, this is our 92nd show, and although I wanted to get to 100 before I shut everything down for Prism Radio, I decided this would be the last show for multiple reasons. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later, but I want to talk about tonight. So the last show, this show has been very, very important to me, and I think I hope that it has reached other people and made an impact, hopefully on their lives with the guests that we've had and that type of thing. So I was trying to figure out exactly what topic that I could finish with. And today I was kind of going through Facebook and that kind of stuff, really not trying to find anything to inspire me, but I found something to inspire me. And I will admit it's the first time I've ever heard of the person. Her name is Ernestine Johnson. And although I would say a lot of you have heard of her, her Facebook page, or excuse me, her YouTube speech on Arsenio that I'm referring to in this show tonight has at this point looks like over 4 million views. I will post that YouTube on this page on Facebook. If you want to go to the Facebook event page, I think you have to actually reply either going or maybe. But it's on the Prism Radio site. You can click and go in here and you can comment on the show. I'll be watching that page. So, excuse me. I will post on there also here if I get a chance. I may try to post it tonight during this show, but I haven't. Let me tell you a little bit about Ernestine. Ernestine is also known in the spoken word community, infamous for being uncensored and untamed on the microphone, speaking on matters dear to the heart. Ernestine was a red carpet host for McKinley Presents NTN Las Vegas, conducting interviews with various celebrities, which led to her hosting a sports segment on KCEP Power 88.1. Continuing her journey, Ernestine resides in Atlanta, Georgia. She can be seen on GMC's original stage play, Sugar Mamas, and her latest film, Reckless. So, on the Arsenio host show, Arsenio kind of explains a little bit. I hope that I was able to capture the audio, and I want you to hear this before we get started. We'll talk a little bit about this. You can feel free to give us a call before, when the show is over. Let me see here. Before we get started, let me take care of the disclaimer, then we'll play her audio. I'll be right back. Radio show is the property of Prism Radio and Holly Knight. Most of the show's content is intended for individuals over 18 years old, but could be of some help for those under 18. This is a talk show, so there will be opinions expressed throughout the whole show. Prism Radio is not accountable for any opinions expressed by a guest or a live caller. On that topic, I will express many opinions, and I do not claim to represent the transgender community as a whole, as I can really only represent my personal opinion. Okay, welcome back. I'm glad I took care of that. And it's been a couple of weeks since I've had a show. Some of this, I didn't realize that I redid my disclaimer. And some of my really good friends may kind of understand the purpose of that song. But anyway, I always thought that was a very, you know, of course everybody does, but a very ironic song that it's not really about you, but it is about you. So, all right. So, again, Ernestine Johnson, you can find information on her site, ErnestineJohnson.com. And, of course, you can go on the just do a search on her name, and you can go to YouTube. So I do highly recommend that. So let's play her presentation on the Arsenio Hall show.
Okay, so last night I had a woman named Ernestine Johnson booked on the show to perform a spoken word. Unfortunately, I ran out of time, and I was unable to put her on. But after the show, she set this room on fire with a performance for my Arsenio Up Close app. And at that moment, at that very moment, I decided to have her on the show tonight to start it off for you all. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ernestine Johnson.
Average black girl, because I'm so well spoken, poised, full of etiquette, a white man's token. You know, I remember my ex's mother telling me I didn't know how I was going to react when he brought home a black girl, but I like you because you talk so white. Well, when did me talking right equate to me talking white? They say I'm not the average black girl. No, not the average black girl, because the pigment in my skin is just a shade lighter than that black girl over there. You know the black girl over there, the black girl with the nappy hair, the black girls whose elbows can't skip a day without lotion, whose hearts and heads are filled up with self-hate and bottled up emotion, the cocoa brown girls who have to face society every day and be tough, because no matter how good they straighten their hair, their good is still not good enough. Oh, see, luckily for me, see, I don't fall in that category. See, they say I'm not the average black girl because I speak with so much class, and I don't have too much but just enough ass, and not too much but just enough pizzazz. You know, just a little bit of attitude. Because you don't want to come off as one of those average black girls and come off as rude. You know, popping their gum and shaking their neck. Yeah, because those black girls get, like, no respect. But see, luckily for me, see, I get a pass. Because the melanin in my skin matches that brown paper bag. And my father, brother, and men that I date pants don't sag. And when I speak, my tongue pronounces every syllable. and the combed part down the middle of my hair is naturally visible. Oh, it must be a weave. She must be mixed, because we all know the average black girl ain't got that good. Or when I walk into a room full of white men, they all stare. It must be the long length of my unaverage black girl hair. See, they say I'm not the average black girl because I corrected the professor when he used the word conversate. Converse. The word is converse. And in case you didn't get the memo, there are now 8, not 9 planets in the universe. And when you're watching the numbers on your stocks move up and down, remember Oklahoma and a small town. One of the first Wall Streets was a black Wall Street that got mysteriously burned down. Oh, they say I'm not the average black girl. Well, let's flip the script and rewind it. Repaint the lines that had been blurred over time, because the average black girl that I know, see, the average black girl that I know made 19 trips through the Underground Railroad to free the slaves, sat on segregated buses, refused to get up and pave new waves. See, the average black girl that I know, the average black girl that I know were Egyptian queens like Hatshepsut and Nitocris, who were ruling dynasties and whole armies of men. Excuse me why I set fire to this poem with my pen, because I am tired. Tired of the stereotypes black girls have fallen into because of American mentality. Oh, but not half as tired as Ella Baker, Diane Nash, Septima Poinsett Clark. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Miss Fannie Lou Hamer, Daisy Bates, Anna Arnold Hedgman, and Dorothy Height are far more tired than I am. But do you think the ones who say I'm not the average black girl even give a damn? No. So pardon me if I can't openly accept your compliments. Pardon me if I can't openly accept your compliment. It's just the average black girl that I know. The average black girl that I know had courage that surpassed her every fear and fought for justice and equality year after year. So as I construct these words, pardon me as I shed a tear, because I'm not half the black girl she was. I am not half the black girl she was. See, there's a minor clause. See, she was out there fighting, breaking, and changing laws. So I bow down to my black queen standing in the merit of her work. And as America's society continuously throws these supercilious words unto me, I say no. I'm not the average black girl. I can only aspire to be. Thank you.
So that was her presentation on the Arsenio Hall show. And honestly, I can't hardly get through this, her presentation. That's the third time I've heard it. And it brings a tear, it brings cold chills, it brings amen, it brings all kinds of emotions and thoughts and that sort of thing. And so that definitely inspired me to talk about stereotypes tonight and the damage of stereotypes and what they're all about possibly and that type of thing. Of course, just like anything, it's not the final word, it's just a word on topics, and tonight the topic is stereotypes. So stereotype, if you get a definition, everybody pretty much knows what it is, but it's a widely held but fixed and oversimplified image or idea of a particular type of person or thing. So there's a couple words that go hand in hand with stereotypes. There's stereotypes, there's prejudice, there's discrimination. And they're all understood as related, but they are different concepts. So I think if you want to really break it down, you can say stereotypes is the mental concept. Prejudice is probably some action. Discrimination obviously is some action or behavior. But the stereotype is how you think about someone. And and of course, that is the beginning of how you treat people usually. So there's an unknown quote that I found pretty interesting. And there's, of course, thousands, hundreds, thousands of quotes on stereotypes, and a lot of different people said it. But this is unknown. I don't know who said it. It says, stereotypes are devices for saving a biased person the trouble of learning. If you think about stereotypes and you think the things, to me, I think there are two areas of stereotypes that absolutely amaze me on an everyday basis. If you are a person that walks the planet of a group that is stereotyped, you realize how inaccurate that is. And if you think about this, is at least in our country, I can't talk about other countries, but in our country, we have so many groups of people that receive, that are treated as minorities, if you want to call it, that are stereotypes. So there are stereotypes of people of color. There are gender stereotypes of men or women. There are stereotypes of religions, stereotypes of national origins, such as Mexico or people from that are Muslim. England has stereotypes. So here's some gender profiling or stereotyping. Men are strong and do all the work. Men are the backbone. Women aren't as smart as man, as smart as a man. Women can't do as good of a job as a man. Girls are not good at sports. Guys are messy and unclean. Men who spend too much time on a computer or read are geeks. Now, a couple of things on that is, of course, as a transgender person, it's really, really interesting because on the stereotypes, one of the things that you experience in our community is the effort that we go through trying to change one gender to another, and we inherit on purpose a behavior that promotes these stereotypes. We fight those things that we see as stereotypes for that are looked at as men. For example, if you're athletic, as I was an athlete, and I remember fighting the feeling is I didn't want people to know that I was an athlete. I felt that masculinized me. And in fact, it does. The reality is it does to many, many people. And I was reading, too, on some stereotypes, and I disagree. One of the persons that I was reading was a quote was talking about you can only allow stereotypes to affect you. If you don't allow them to affect you, then they are not stereotypes. And I disagree because I think people are going to treat you a certain way if they have stereotypes. And to be treated a certain way, whether you are being hired or fired, promoted or not promoted, even being treated nicely or unnicely or being harmed, hurt, beat, murdered, spit at, profanity, said things, multiple things. You are going to be treated many, many times based on a lot of the stereotypes that people have as who you are. If you're a black girl, you're going to be treated by people that have in their mind stereotypes of what black girls are about, those stereotypes, versus a white girl. And it's clear if you pay any attention at all, and that's the thing is about this, is that if you pay any attention at all, you know that stereotypes are not. All you have to do is pay some kind of attention. But I was talking to somebody recently, and there's another word that we use in a transgender community that you don't think too much about to exist, and that is when you have privilege. There's male privilege versus female privilege. There's white privilege versus people of color privilege in our country. There are privileges that people do not have if they're from Mexico versus people that are from this country that look like they are of Hispanic origin. There are age type of privileges. There are obesity, lack of privileges. If you are heavy, then you are treated a certain way. Men that are short, women that are redhead, people with no teeth. That type of thing. And it could be like Tiger Woods just recently had a tooth out. If you didn't know who he was and you saw him, you would have probably some judgment on that person, some stereotype on that person. If you didn't know who Tiger Woods was and you saw and you would say, well, the poor guy doesn't have enough money to fix it, or he doesn't care, or whatever, doesn't take care of himself. And all those things are not true. All you have to experience on a regular basis. But what I think happens is a couple things is that from a person that went from a highly privileged position of white, middle, upper class male life as a professional athlete, as a college educator an area where basically I have noticed multiple things that has happened in my world today is one of them is that it's interesting is that in my previous world, I could say things and most people didn't question me. Most people assumed I knew what I was talking about because who I was representing, what person I, or what role, what stereotype they had about me as an educated middle upper class white male. You become a female or a trans female, depending on how they see me or know I am. Everything that I say, almost everything that I say, I have to prove that I may know what I'm talking about in that area. Even though I may have a degree in that area, it is the assumption that I don't have a degree in that area. And those type of things is that. But I was talking, as I said, talking to someone recently. When I was living that life as a person of privilege, of high privilege, I didn't realize that there was privilege or not privilege. It just was. I didn't think about it. And I even thought that because I'm in that situation, I didn't even think at that time, but I knew that people that did not have a degree or people that were not in good shape, people that were obese, people that were not educated, people that did not have, that had a tooth missing, people that, those type of things. I didn't really judge them in a bad way, like, I don't like you or that, but I did probably feel that was probably their fault. That I felt at that time is everything that I had, I got because I worked hard. I did work hard. But when you have privilege, you think that it's all you in that situation. You think that everything that I had, I worked my tail off to get. And again, I did work hard, but I felt that it was only the hard work. Then when you get into a situation that you are in a lack of privilege situation, the hard work goes, it doesn't help you as much. It was like, what I had to do to get to a successful level before, I worked hard to get to this. But it was kind of easy in a lot of ways. I was privileged. I was given things. I was allowed. If I wanted to go to school, nobody questioned anything. If I wanted to go to class, if I wanted to do this and this and this. I applied for jobs, all those type of things. But then when I became a situation as a transgender woman or as a woman, depending, again, on how they saw me, is that it was twice as hard. I would say there's three things that I succeeded at a very high level that I'm very proud of. Professional athlete was one. A master's degree was two. And the third was, two things, let's say. There's some other things that I would say that I'm proud of. So those things I was proud of doing, but the ability to find a job as a transgender woman has been and was easily so much more difficult. And there were multiple times that I felt like quitting, and I just didn't have a chance to quit. I might as well die. I might as well kill myself or whatever. At that point, because if I couldn't get a job, I would die. I mean, I literally would die because at some point you don't have options. And thankfully, even at that point, I had some privilege. At least I had a degree and I had friends. I had some networking and those type of things. But it was extremely, extremely difficult. So hard. It was harder to get a job and I'm not a high paying person, but it's harder to get this job that I have now than to be a starting position player in professional baseball. That was easy compared to what this has been. I mean, easier by a long shot. And so the stereotypes is the dangers of them. And then you start talking about how stupid they are. And like some other cultures, stereotypes. All white Americans are obese, lazy, dim-witted. Homer Simpson, the TV series of Simpsons, a personification of the stereotype. Mexican stereotypes suggest that all Mexicans are lazy and come into America illegally. All Arabs and Muslims are terrorists. All people who live in England have bad teeth. Italian or French people are the best lovers. All blacks outside the United States are poor. All Jews are greedy. All Asians are good at math. All Asians like to eat rice and drive slow. All Irish people are drunks and eat potatoes. All Americans are generally considered to be friendly, generous, intolerant, but also arrogant, impatient, and domineering. Some groups of individual stereotypes. Goths wear black clothes, black makeup, and are desperate and hated by society. Punks wear mohawks, spikes, chains, are a menace to society, and always getting in trouble. All politicians are philanderers and think only of personal gain and benefit. Girls are only concerned about physical appearance. All blondes are unintelligent. All librarians are women who are old, wear glasses, tie a high bun, and have a perpetual frown on their face. All teenagers are rebels. All children don't enjoy healthy food. Only anorexic women can become models. And the elderly have health issues and behave like children. So these are a dozen or two dozen of some typical stereotypes that you probably forget. And I will tell you, some of the things here, all blacks outside the United States are poor. In the 50s and the 60s, blacks were poor. And most in the United States, there's a lot of poor people that happen to be African-American. And there's a lot of poor people that happen to be white and of all descents. But the stereotypes damaging to African-American people in the 60s, because the inability to perceive an African-American in those days as intelligent enough to do anything was the problem. And then you realize that all African-American people, there are many, many intelligent people. It says here, the definition of stereotype is commonly known public belief about a certain social group or a type of individual. Stereotypes are often confused with prejudice, because like prejudice, the stereotype is based on a poor or a prior assumption. Stereotypes are often created about people of specific cultures or races. So why is it bad to stereotype? Stereotypes is not only hurtful, it's wrong. Even though stereotyping, correcting in some cases, constantly putting down people based on their preconceived perception. Clearly, we're just talking about why. But why do we, as human beings, have this tendency to stereotype? What is the reason for that? Why are that? Just my opinion, and I've not done a lot of research, and I'm by no means an expert on any of this. But I do think that there's some health to stereotyping things. For example, if you see leaves that looks like poison ivy and has all the features of poison ivy, you stereotype poison ivy as dangerous, and you stay away. If you see this big, hairy beast that is a bear, and he's standing on both legs growling, you got a pretty good idea that that is a bad thing, and you stay away. So you stay away from those types. So it kind of stereotyping dangers, fire, all that kind of stuff. And maybe over time, as human beings, from the very beginning of time, we had to have this ability to stereotype, to learn how to, if we did not have the ability to stereotype, if that was just, there was something genetic in our brain that we had no ability to put kind of stereotype to dangers, then we probably would walk up to these bears or get poison ivy every single time and not learn from those mistakes. So I wonder, is, you know, of course, 1,000 years ago or 100 years, you know, not 100, but a long time ago, there was a lot of stereotypes that we had to learn from to keep us safe. And that was good for us. I mean, I think there's some positive things on that in that regard. So that's probably good. And it still is the same way. There's things that we want to avoid that's dangerous for us at this point, that we should avoid. And I will tell you, there's a controversial conversation, as a comment someone made recently. It was a sports thing. It was talking about, I think it was, again, I don't remember exactly, but it was, I think, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, can't remember his name, was talking about how he would avoid, if he's walking down the street and a black guy with a hood, but I think he also said a white guy with tattoos and things like that. And, you know, in that situation, and it was really interesting. I work in Louisville, and it's at Brown Foreman, and where we are located, our corporate office is located, is really close to what is right at the barrier, right at the gray area of what is considered the West End of Louisville, which is considered is known as a higher population of African-American people there. And there is lately there's been more violence going on there and that type of thing. And when I leave work, of course, this time of the year, it's getting dark. And there's a section of where I have to go to my parking lot that I'm parking at these times is, and multiple, many, many times I'm leaving our campus and I am now in the West End of Louisville by myself as visually as a woman walking to my car. And was it Friday? And I'm leaving. I think it was Thursday or Friday. I'm leaving. I'm going down one sidewalk and I see, got to go across the highway, or not the highway, but it's Dixie Highway. Got to go across the road. And as I'm getting ready to go across the road, I can get there earlier, or it's a shortcut if I go now. And I realize coming on the other way, I see is a black guy walking and he's got a hood on his head. I mean, it's cold. It's pretty cold. So hoods are pretty common. And I reminded me of that comment that this owner said about walking down a road with a black guy with a hood. I just went ahead and kept going, and I went across the road and walked by him. And as I'm walking forward, those things I'm thinking about. Now, I'm not, at that point, I'm not concerned about being harmed. It's still enough light. But I got to be honest with you, there was a little bit of consideration. And so I think there's stereotypes that we have that are hard to get out. In my mind, my intelligence is saying there's no more fear of me being harmed from this person than if it was a white person without a hood on, for example. Equal fear should be in my mind, and probably the odds of being harmed is 0.1% anyway. But I think I was still considering those things. It still was in my mind. And interesting enough, as I come forward, and I've heard African-American people talk about stuff like I remember hearing things over the years is like if I'm walking and I see a black guy coming, then I go across the street and comments are made like, well, I'm not good enough to walk on the side and that kind of stuff. So as I walk by this young man, he said hello to me. And I couldn't help to think, now he was young, so maybe, again, the age type of thing, but I couldn't help to think that maybe he was just wanting to be nice and almost like the opposite of saying, well, this lady actually walked across the street and was not afraid of me, so I want to. But, you know, it was kind of this effort on my part to say, to think of those things. So I don't know. Again, that's how my mind works. And whether it be good or bad, it is some things I was thinking about. So this article talks about stereotypes. And so I think there are some reasons that we probably have and some things that we have too. But isn't most things that we have that we have from our descendants? I mean, a lot of things that we naturally want to do is walk away from things that are stereotypes or fears and stuff. But isn't that kind of like why we're human? What the advantage is that we have the ability to learn and to adjust and say that stereotypes, for the most part, are idiotic. And we have the ability to say that's not the case. And even though in my mind there was a little bit of stereotype going on in there, my behavior was that was not going to stop my behavior. It was not going to affect my behavior. And so that's what distinguishes us from being 200 years ago or 300 years ago to today, because we know that they do not exist. So I'm going to take a little bit of break, get my voice a little bit, kind of fighting a cold, and feel free to give us a call. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a commercial here, I think, if I can find it. And we'll be back here in just a little bit. You know, this part of doing this kind of work is difficult for me, but it has to be done to pay the bills. Producing a radio show like this costs more money than a person probably realizes, so I could use your help if you feel this show is of benefit and should stay on air. There are a few ways you can help Prism Radio financially. You can donate any amount as often as you are able and desire. You can sponsor a show segment on a live show. Okay, I'm sorry I hit the wrong button, so that doesn't do much sense for me to ask for donations when this is the last show. So anyway, I want to make sure if you wanted to give us a call, it's 949-534-0761. That's 949-534-0761. 1-800-534-0761. If you're listening live, you've got that phone number on your screen. If you're listening archive, feel free to comment on our Facebook page. It is there. We are. I've gotten rid of the website. So if you feel like you want to make some comments, then you can go to my Facebook page. It's Prism Radio on Facebook, or you can go to this page where this show is about Ernestine. So anyway, so the stereotypes is, excuse me, again, I think while we stereotype and the thing, but we have to fight those type of things. I think there's another word for it that we hear in our community a lot of times is labeling. And I think, and I've had a show about labeling one time before, I think there we have to be careful on this because I think we, in my opinion, because as a person that identifies, I identify as a transgender educator activist. My activist ability or my activist desire is through education. I'm not much of a political activist, although there are political things that I think need to happen and change. But I will give you my feeling on the power of education and what versus the political things. 1964, of course, we had rights for people of color and women, and to give people of color and women the right to be treated equally under the law in all regards. And clearly, that's not, here it is 2015, and clearly neither one of those things exists based on what we see, what we hear. People of color are not treated equally. People that are of women are not treated equally, whether it's employment or socially or whatever. And as much as what we were able to do as a country in 1964 to give people of color and women the rights that we were able to do, all that was very, very important. But we continue to have issues. And in my opinion, the reason we continue to have issues is a lot to do with stereotyping or labeling. Now, I'm going to give you what I think is the definition of labeling. Is, again, it's the same thing as stereotyping, is that if I am going to label someone, I'm going to put a name to that, or a name, a title to that person. So if I see someone that I think is acting gay, I don't know if that person is acting gay, but and again, whatever acting gay is, but in my mind, I think the person is gay. I'm labeling him as gay, whether I know he is or don't know he is. If the person is, for example, I was living in Eastern Kentucky one time, and I had a really bad stereotype that I had to fight when I was down there. I was talking, like the first week I was down, I was working at Morehead University, and I was talking to this student, and this student had a serious Eastern Kentucky accent. If you've never heard that, it just doesn't sound very intelligent, to me at least. I'm listening to this in my mind. I'm thinking, wow, you know, how is this? I'm not thinking this, but I'm being sarcastic now a little bit. But how is this person even doing well in school? And he said he was a senior, and I'm listening to him talk. I'm going, gosh, he must be struggling and everything. And I said, so what's your major? And he said physics. And I found out he had like a 3.95 GPA in physics going into his last semester of his senior year, or his last year of his senior year. And I'm thinking, my gosh. So I left that thinking, that just blew out the stereotypes in my mind on that accent, because I equated lack of intelligence. And so I would have labeled him stupid, let's say. I wouldn't personally, but I would label him, lack of, not very smart or lack of intelligence based on that, and it was wrong. So now again, in another way is a label would be somebody that would be smart. There's good labels and bad labels, and I would say the person was intelligent. So intelligent would be a label, like a dumb would be a label. And so I would label him intelligent would probably be a good thing, But again, just because his GPA, we don't know. Now, let's say we talk about the transgender community is we have multiple things in a transgender community. And let's say I label someone a crossdresser and the person is actually not a crossdresser. It could either be, let's say, is actually a transsexual. The crossdresser is someone that is more part-time transsexual, is more going toward a full-time situation. And I label that person based on how well they dress and how they dress and how they behave and that type of thing. And it is not up to me to determine if that person is a crossdresser or a transsexual, let's say. That would be me labeling that person based on how they present, let's say. Now, what I need to say is I think as a transgender educator, it's important, though, to have words that are definable, clearly definable, and consistently definable. For example, what crossdresser means and what transsexual is. I'm not labeling anybody by defining the words. That person may not, in fact, fit into either one of those categories. But when you educate the community on what transgender is, you can't tell people what transgender is unless you tell them what it means to be transgender, what the definition of words are. Trans 101 is full of definition of words, even to the point where you're trying to educate people because of the typical definition of, or people perceive trans women as gay men in women's clothing, which isn't true. It's let's say 50-50, possibly growing up as a gay male or growing up as a straight male that becomes a trans woman. And so is that person gay or is that straight? That's up to that person to identify, but we have to know what gay and what straight is. And, of course, transgender community, we're blurring that to begin with. But in education, if you have taught any classes or gone in any classes, one of the first things you do in that class is you define words, what words mean. And then you work toward identifying things. Like if you're in a geology type of a class where you're learning about rocks, you define what different types of rocks they are. And it's been too long since I've taken a class, but you classify a rock. This fits under these type of the things. Now, that's rocks. That's not people, because people are not going to fit in that as well. But we do need to have definitions and terms to educate people. But it is not up to us to put labels on someone based on what our preconceived notions of what that is, because it's usually going to be wrong. That's what stereotyping is, probably, possibly. So I'm rambling a little bit, so I apologize. So I'm looking to see if anyway, nobody's called at this point. That's fine. It's a last minute type of a show. excuse me. So what we are what we're talking about here is on the stereotypes is, and I'm going to finish the show tonight again with, if you missed Ernestine on what she said, she says it so well. I'm going to finish with that tonight. And I want to talk a little bit about where we're going with Prism Radio 2 and while we're finishing and while we're shutting down and that type of thing. So at Prism Radio, we have been around since 2010. As I said earlier, this is the 92nd show. So my plan is, at this point, it's a financial decision and a restructuring decision on some things that I'm doing. So my plan is to shut Prism Radio down effectively at the end of the show. Now, you can still listen to all shows, Prism Radio, in any of the 92 shows that I've had. You can listen to them at any point still after this show discontinues. The actual site will continue to exist on Blog Talk Radio. I just won't be producing any more shows on that particular page. So any shows from the point of the very, very first show and first couple shows I had in June of 2010. Again, all of them you can listen to it as frequently as you want. You can still get them on iTunes and download them on your phone, listen to them in your car, that type of thing. So they're all still going to be available, but I will not be producing any more shows through Prism Radio. I do have a couple ideas on what to do in the future. So I'm going to tell you that probably I'm going to do something in the future again, and I will communicate that and let you know what's going on. So I'm not sure at this point, but at this point, this is it. Going to shut it down, and I think last I saw probably 60,000-70,000 listeners. So I feel like it's done its duty, it's done its job, and served the purpose of what's been going on. So it's difficult because the amount of time to do it really, really well takes a lot of prep time. And although I had some prep time tonight, I think if you listen to me regularly, you can probably tell, well, I haven't done as much research as I have in previous shows, just because it gets more difficult, just because of the time and things that's going on. But we're going to see what happens at that point. So, again, feel free to listen to these shows. Feel free to stay in contact. Contact me on my Facebook page. You can still contact me. I'm going to give you my general email address. That's hollynknight@gmail.com. That's hollynknight@gmail.com. So feel free to comment or make some comments to me or thoughts in that way on that email. So I think that takes care of everything. Again, I don't see any comments for the Facebook page at this point. I look forward to hearing from everyone. If you are from the Louisville area, don't forget we have a support group called Transgender. Excuse me, called Sienna. It's a transgender support group. SiennaTG.org is the website. So feel free to get in contact with them. And if you're in the area, there's a way to contact them on the website. There is also a SiennaTG Facebook page. So also, if you didn't know, if you are transgender, and if you know anybody that is transgender, there is a specific lifeline. It's a transgender like hotline for if you are depressed, suicidal, that type of thing. And so I just noticed something on this site. Interesting. I see on this site this is zero volunteers on call now. So I wonder, that kind of concerns me a little bit. There's nobody on call, then let's see. I may not. The number is 877-565-8860. That's 877-565-8860. That's a U.S. number. If you're in Canada, that's 877-330-6366. That's 877-330-6366. So if you have any issues there, that would be a good place to start for dealing with your depression and that sort of thing. Because I know we've been talking about the Lila Alcorn thing in Cincinnati here for the last few weeks and the suicides and that type of thing. So, all right. So anyway, I'm going to play Ernestine's speech one more last time, and that we'll finish it because again, you can't really say it much better than her in this segment. So I'm going to finish with that, and I hope you enjoy it. And I will talk to you soon. Have a good evening.
Okay, so last night, I had a woman named Ernestine Johnson booked on the show to perform a spoken word. Unfortunately, I ran out of time, and I was unable to put her on. But after the show, she set this room on fire with a performance for my Arsenio Up Close app. And at that moment, at that very moment, I decided to have her on the show tonight to start it off for you all. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ernestine Johnson.
Thank
They say I'm not the average black girl because I'm so well-spoken, poised, full of etiquette, a white man's token. You know, I remember my ex's mother telling me I didn't know how I was going to react when he brought home a black girl, but I like you because you talk so white. Well, when did me talking right equate to me talking white? They say I'm not the average black girl. No, 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 not the average black girl, because the pigment in my skin is just a shade lighter than that black girl over there. You know the black girl over there. The black girl with the nappy hair. The black girls whose elbows can't skip a day without lotion. Whose hearts and heads are filled up with self-hate and bottled up emotion. The cocoa brown girls who have to face society every day and be tough. Because no matter how good they straighten their hair, their good is still not good enough. Oh, see, luckily for me, see, I don't fall in that category. See, they say I'm not the average black girl because I speak with so much class. And I don't have too much, but just enough ass. And not too much, but just enough pizzazz. You know, just a little bit of attitude. Because you don't want to come off as one of those average black girls and come off as rude. You know, popping their gum and shaking their neck. Yeah, because those black girls get, like, no respect. But see, luckily for me, see, I get a pass. Because the melanin in my skin matches that brown paper bag. And my father, brother, and men that I date pants don't sag. And when I speak, my tongue pronounces every syllable. And the combed part down the middle of my hair is naturally visible. Oh, it must be a weave. She must be mixed. Because we all know the average black girl ain't got that good. Or when I walk into a room full of white men, they all stare. It must be the long length of my unaverage black girl hair. See, they say I'm not the average black girl because I corrected the professor when he used the word conversate. Converse. The word is converse. And in case you didn't get the memo, there are now 8, not 9 planets in the universe. And when you're watching the numbers on your stocks move up and down, remember Oklahoma and a small town where one of the first Wall Streets was a black Wall Street that got mysteriously burned down? Oh, they say I'm not the average black girl. Well, let's flip the script and rewind this, repaint the lines that had been blurred over time, because the average black girl that I know, see, the average black girl that I know made 19 trips through the Underground Railroad to free the slaves. Sat on segregated buses, refused to get up and pave new waves. See, the average black girl that I know, the average black girl that I know were Egyptian queens like Hatshepsut and Nitocris who were ruling dynasties and whole armies of men. Excuse me why I set fire to this poem on my pen, because I am tired. Tired of the stereotypes black girls have fallen into because of American mentality. Oh, but not half as tired as Ella Baker, Diane Nash, Septima Poinsett Clark. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Miss Fannie Lou Hamer, Daisy Bates, Anna Arnold Hedgman, and Dorothy Height are far more tired than I am. But do you think the ones who say I'm not the average black girl even give a damn? No. So pardon me if I can't openly accept your compliments. Pardon me if I can't openly accept your compliment. It's just the average black girl that I know. The average black girl that I know had courage that surpassed her every fear and fought for justice and equality year after year. So as I construct these words, pardon me as I shed a tear, because I'm not half the black girl she was. I am not half the black girl she was. See, there's a minor clause. See, she was out there fighting, breaking, and changing laws. So I bow down to my black queen standing in the merit of her work. And as America's society continuously throws these supercilious words unto me, I say no. I'm not the average black girl. I can only aspire to be. Thank you.